Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, yea, Lord. He thought we were worth dying for.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you.
Yes.
We don't claim to understand all the details of the plan, but we understand that we're standing before you, Lord God, saved and sanctified and submitted to your will and your way and your word, Father. We thank you for placing us in that position. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the fellowship, Lord God. Hallelujah. The discipleship, Lord. The worship, Lord God, that's going on in this building today.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord God, for encouraging our hearts and our minds to want to go one step further, one more day, one more week, one more month, one more year for you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, as your word go forth today, we just simply ask that you stir us up.
Yes.
Stir us up. With a will, Lord God, to do your will.
Yes.
Bless your people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is just so good. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's a lot of folks in our culture that still haven't come to the point where they think all of this is real. When I say real, and I use that word real, that it's being orchestrated and conducted by God. A lot of people don't believe that God has a plan. And that those of you that have given your life to God are part of that plan. It's time now for us to take our belief level to another level. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We've been talking about salvation today. Do you have a hunger for souls this morning?
Amen.
Do you want to see someone saved?
Yes.
See, I know that you don't think about the people that you run into in a grocery store and folks you drive by and see, but I know you think about your family, maybe your children. Maybe your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, maybe your siblings, maybe your aunts or uncles or nieces or nephews. I know you think about them. We asked that question some time back, you know, which one of them do you want to see go to hell? You know, it's got to be an awful thing to get to hell and realize hell is real. Now, I've never been there, been close. But I've never really been there. So all I can rely upon is what I get from God's word. But according to God's word, it is very, very uncomfortable. It would be a shame for you, hallelujah, to wait till you get to hell to decide that's not where you want to be. Hello? A lot of folks get married, but then they decide, I don't want to be married. Well, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. One of the greatest assignments that all of us have here on planet Earth after we give our life to Jesus Christ and allow him to be the Lord of our life and the Savior from hell, one of the greatest responsibilities we have is to pass that along. It's to intercede. It's to intercede for the people in our circle of influence. But you know, even though we're saved and born again, the devil have a lot of us fooled. A lot of us think that this living here on planet Earth is all about having all of our needs met. Now, I'm not against having our needs met and even going beyond that. But if you're living for that, then you might be living for the wrong reason. Because in reality, the very best thing that could have happened to you once you got saved is God just take you on to heaven. Amen? No more fighting with your neighbors. Come on now. No more arguing about who's going to get in the bathroom first.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
No more strugglings. You hear all these testimonies about people who have been to heaven. And they come back and tell us about how beautiful it is. But we're going to have to wait till we get there to see for ourselves. But we could believe on this end. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to take our priority for souls a little bit higher. Just a little bit higher. I'm under the belief that the reason that you and I are still here after we get saved is because God has a plan for us. He has an assignment for us. Remember that old TV movie, Mission Impossible? God has a mission impossible for you. Amen? As a matter of fact, he set it up so that only you can get it done. Only you can get it done. And God will go to no extent to prepare you for your mission. Now, we used to think about going to college, you know, going to elementary school, going to grade school for a few years, going to high school for 4 years, maybe going on to college for 4 years just to get a certain level of information that you probably could have got at home, really. But God will put you in a place for 20 years until you're ready. Amen? Until you're ready. It's like baking a chicken or something in the oven. You say, how long do I leave this chicken in the oven? I say, till it's ready. And that's what God does for us. But a lot of times, we allow the enemy to confuse us too and make us think that we're here, left behind, just so that we can have a relaxed life. There's nothing wrong with a relaxed life. That's why I encourage you to quote that little theme we have. We are out of debt, my needs are met, and I've got what? Plenty more. It's nice to live like that. But that's not the reason you're here. That's not the reason God left you here. The enemy has been given power beyond our wildest imagination. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You know? But he's still not the ultimate power. God is. But if we're going to be successful here on planet Earth, number one, we definitely got to get saved. We definitely got to get in God's kingdom. And number two, we have to have priorities that line up with God's priorities. And the Bible says, it's not God's will that any be lost. Any be lost. That's talking about your children, your cousins, your siblings, everybody in your little circle of influence. The number one priority for all of us is to intercede until all of them in your circle of influence get saved. You say, well, then what I do? Well, what God does, he's increased your circle of influence. He takes you higher. Now your circle of influence is even bigger and even wider. This whole thing is about salvation and God's plan. Not how smart we are, not how comfortable we are, not how rich we are, but whether or not we're in the plan of God. A lot of us don't even realize that we've been brought from death to life. Because see, prior to getting saved, you're not living. You think you're living. That's the trick. And that's the devil's trick. He wants you to think you're living. Just ask any drug user out there. You know, he or she'll tell you, look, I'm living. I'm living high on the hog. No. The devil's confusing you. The devil's confusing you. Amen. The devil's confusing you. The devil tell you the best time you ever had. Listen, go to work, get a little bit of money and go out there and get drunk, get high, whatever, spend it all, and then start work all over again. And then he'll lie and say, look, ain't that fun? The devil is slicker than we give him credit for. Genesis talk about how he's the most subtle creature out there. The devil, listen, the devil, he'll convince a man, listen, that he ought to be sleeping with another man. Now, I don't care how much you talk to me. You ain't convincing me of that. Are you with me? But the devil's so slick. He's so slick He'll convince a woman that she's better off if she slept with another woman. The devil say, well, you know, man can't make you feel this way. Come on now. Well, you really into something now. Yeah, you sure are. You're in deep kimchi. That's what you're in. You're in deep, deep kimchi.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. If the devil can keep you distracted with his foolishness,
amen,
until you die, then he got you. There's no coming back. There's no greyhound that you can catch and going back home. Amen. There's none.
Amen.
There's no United Airlines that you can hop on and go back home. But he'll always use that trick of giving you something that either look good, smell good, taste good, come on now, or feel good. So I'm not denying the effects of what he gives you, but I am denying that it's any good for you.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, if you haven't got saved, you need to get saved. And when you get saved, you need to make your number one priority, come on, interceding for the lost, interceding for those that don't know God. You see, if the truth was told, whatever your assignment is, God's going to do the work. He's going to do the work. He's not waiting for you to get smart enough, strong enough, come on, rich enough. He's going to do the work. He just needs you to take the first step, and he's got the rest anyway. But meanwhile, our number one assignment is leading people to salvation.
Amen.
Who have you prayed for this week? Ask yourself that. Who have you prayed for this week? Who have you prayed for today? Who do you have a burden that they should go from death to life? I'm telling you now, if the devil has made your lifestyle one of consumption of alcohol or drugs, come on, he's deceived you. He's deceived you. He's deceived you. If he made your lifestyle of one of wanting to be infatuated with the same sex, he's deceived you.
Amen.
Come on. He's deceived you. Now, I don't even know why I bring that up today, but listen, I do know why, because it's spreading. That homosexual thing, the devil is using that to destroy people's life.
Amen.
And to break down the belief in God.
Amen.
The Methodist Church is falling apart because of it. Just falling apart. Every week you hear of another Methodist group leaving the denominations. And for one reason and one reason only, because those that's in charge are now ordaining homosexuals. And preaching that it's okay. Well, why don't we preach that a man ought to cheat on his wife? That might be a little bit fun. I don't know if he would agree with me on that, but why don't we preach that? Well, you know that ain't right. Of course I know it's not right. But neither is all that other stupid stuff that the devil have us doing. Today we need to understand that we've been moved from death to life. And prior to being saved, you're really not living. You're only being controlled by the devil. And I say this all the time. If you're not saved, the devil may have you doing anything. Come on, I'm trying to tell you. There's nobody that perfect, nobody that good, nobody that holy, that if they're not saved, listen, that they can just escape the will and the way of the devil when he wants to use them. I want to just share several things with you. First of all, I want to just share the fact that all people are born into this world separated from God. And then I just want to share with you that God's standards of goodness is his glory, not yours. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that. And third but not least, I want to share with you the fact that even though you're completely forgiven, it matters how you live.
Amen.
You just can't live any old kind of way. You just can't. We read of all these horrible stories that men and women of God are doing crazy stuff. and it's getting publicized. Well, my answer to those people, look, chances are they may not be saved. I don't know if they're saved or not, but they may not. They may not. But you have a choice. Let's talk first of all about the fact that all people are born into this world separate from God. You need to understand that. That's just the way it is. Go all the way back to Genesis. When we come into this world, listen, we come into the world that's being controlled by the wrong spirit. And I want to take you to the scriptures, Psalms 51, verse 5. It says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Talking about in your mom's womb, in iniquity though. And in sin did my mother conceive me. That doesn't mean your mom was doing something wrong. All right, your mom's just living in this world of sin that's controlled by the enemy. See, Adam and Eve died spiritually when they sinned. Not physically, but spiritually. They died. And you and I, when we come into the world, we come into death, spiritual death. You see, even though those two didn't die physically right away, their spirits were separated from God. And they fell under the control of Satan. That's just the way it works. I want to just rehearse this just for a moment so you'll understand the mechanics of this thing and what's really happening. God is good all the time. Every person born into the earth since then has had this inherent sin nature. So when you're born with a sin nature. You're born with it. It's been passed down from one generation to the next generation. But let me tell you what Romans 5 and 12 says. He says in Romans 5 and 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man's sin, talking about Adam, entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men? All men. For that all have sinned. One act by one man affected us all and affected all the future generations and will affect all the future generations until Christ come back. A natural birth brought you into this world, but a spiritual birth is required to enter God's kingdom. See, I tell you before, and I got to keep telling you, because of the time in which we're living in, things are getting hot. Look at somebody and tell them that. Things are getting hot. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus wanted to know, what's the trick? How I do this? How I get to do what you're doing? How I get to enter into whatever it is you're doing and entering into it? Jesus said, Nick. I think he called him Nick. I think he said, Nick, you must be born again. Yes, amen. Amen. I believe Nicodemus said, look, I'm one of the high mucky mucks. Look at the thing on my head. Look at the robe that I'm wearing. Look at the rings on my finger. Surely I can start doing what you're doing. And once again, I believe Jesus looked at him and said, Nick, you must be born again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if you find yourself in hell and you're able to communicate with God and you say, God, look, do you know how many Sundays I went to church? I know God's answer for you. He won't call you Nick. He'll say, fool. You must be born again. Amen. It don't matter how many times you went to church. You must be born again. Again, we got too many churches filled with too many people who've never been born again. That's what it is. You need to get it, and you need to intercede for those that you love. Hallelujah. 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 I want to take you again to John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. I hope you're bringing your Bible and making notes or something so that you can look over this stuff. I might slip a verse in here from another book. And you'd be all messed up. But today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just give you the word of God. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, talking to Nick, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, Nick, except a man be born of water, that's a natural birth, and of the Spirit, that's a spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You and I are looking at stuff happening all around us. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Now do the best you can as far as following the Holy Spirit and maintaining a good lifestyle while you're here. Do whatever's going to make your life satisfied and happy. But I'm telling you, changes are going to come. Changes are coming. Changes are coming. Do I need to say that again? Changes are coming. I don't know how many times I didn't say that. I got to say that. Maybe every Sunday I got to say it. Changes are coming. Are you with me? Changes are coming. The lifestyle that we've had in America has been very, very good to us and to our children, our grandchildren. It's been good. But changes are coming. We may have to deal with some persecution that'll show up whether or not you're born again. Amen. Amen? See, if you're not born again and the devil put a little bit of pressure on you, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to just flop right on over. You're going to say, tell me what to do. I'll do it, devil. Now, you may not call out his name, but you'll do some things that you know you're not supposed to do. Amen? Open your eyes, folks. We say, Lord, send revival. Revival's already started, in a sense. Send revival. Things are changing right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Things are changing. Hallelujah. We get rid of all our oil. We say we can't produce our own oil. Then we go buy it from somebody else. That's stupid. We open our border. We let almost 6 million people in 24 months. That's crazy. Are you with me? We pass laws, listen, to just print trillions of dollars. That's idiotic.
Yes, it is. Amen.
That's idiotic. That's idiotic. I don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, you see what's going on. But all this stuff is just signs that you and I need to get more and more serious about winning souls. We need to get more and more serious about interceding for the people in our circle of influence. Hallelujah. Now I guess the powers that be are tired of our current president, and now they're coming up with all kinds of stuff to try to get him out of office. You know? Everybody been keeping up with that, right? Now, you don't have to be a scientist to make you realize that there's a power behind all this that's calling the shots.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Amen. And in order to get where they're going, they've got to break the church down. So in my eyesight, it's just a matter of time before some sort of persecution comes. I don't know in what form or what, but it's coming. And if you're not born again, let me tell you something. You may not be able to hang in there with God. You may say, well, look, I can't handle this, so I'm going to just do what the folk want me to do and whatever. You must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. And when you're born again, you pass from death to life. So those of you that's in this building today that have given your life to Jesus Christ, now for the first time in your life, I'm saying now, since you got saved, now you are living. Now you have life. Because prior to that, you were really dead. Dead to God, dead to his kingdom, dead to real life. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 24. I hope you're interceding for somebody. Amen. And I hope you're able to stand. What are we going to do when the next pandemic comes? And when they say, all right, got to close down these churches like they did before. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I can tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do whatever God tells us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I'm saying up here, I want to just tell everybody, listen, live for God.
Amen.
Don't get trapped. Don't get trapped. Just don't get trapped. I remember being a young man, 17, 18, 19, do all kinds of crazy stuff when you're 17, 18, 19. You know, I was up there right outside of, where was I at? Somewhere in California. It wasn't in San Diego, some little small town in there. And I got with this little young girl and stuff, and she gave me this sad story about her mama needed this and whatever and whatever. And I gave her all my money. All my money. All my money. See, that's what the devil do. Amen. He give you something you want, you like or whatever, and you give him everything you got. I get that little young girl all my money, came back a couple weeks. See, I know I was at least 2 hours away from where she was. I took a bus and went over there, and I met her in the cafe. And I thought she was going to be strictly in love with me with all my heart. Drove 2 hours on the bus to get there. And she said, "I'm so glad to see you." They called me Smitty. She said, "I'm so glad to see you, Smitty." I said, "I'm glad to see you too, baby." And her next question was, "What? You got some money?" Thank God I had a round trip ticket. That's what the devil will do. He'll do it every time. He'll make you think you're having fun, that everything going all right. Come on now. Everything going all right. All right. There's a whole bunch of folks out there with HIV because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a whole bunch of folks out there with mouth cancer because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. See, the devil tell you, say, don't worry about it, it'll be all right. And then he'll slip that mess up on you, and then your life will ruin for the rest of your life. That's how, he don't love you. He don't love you at all. Hallelujah. See, you're no longer a sinner if you've been born again. But you're the righteousness in Christ. Not that you're righteous, but you're the righteousness in Christ. Today I want to make sure you understand what's happening to you. Today I want to make sure you understand the battle that we're in today. God is a good God all the time. The second thing I want you to share with you is that God's standard of goodness is his own glory, not yours. God's not looking for you to be good. Come on now. If you follow the peace that he gives you, you're going to do good things. You're going to go in the right direction. But his standard of goodness is his own glory, not yours. See, you might have looked good compared to another sinner. But no one is holy compared to Jesus. Nobody. Amen. Nobody. God didn't save you because you was a goody two-shoe. No, he saved you because you needed to be saved. Amen. I can't tell you the amount of times that the devil tried to kill me when I was a sinner. You know, I don't know. You don't know what's going on. You just say, "Well, I'm glad that you know that wasn't worse than it was." But I know now that it was just a hand of God. Amen. Giving me another opportunity. According to Romans 3:23, everybody have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. God has declared everyone a sinner. Hallelujah. But he loved you. He loved all of us. And he wanted to redeem us. We need to understand this thing. You see, regardless of how bad you were, it doesn't really matter. You instantly became righteous when you got saved. Instantly. How? Through receiving Jesus Christ. Instantly. Don't you want that?
Amen.
Why fake it when you can have the real thing? Why? There's so many people. You know, a lot of time I ask people just in passing, say, "Are you saved? You saved? You born again?" You know the answer to me? Yeah, I go to church. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. The devil can build buildings. The devil can hire leaders. If that's your sign that you're saved, come on, you better go back in the pot and get what you were missing, amen? Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. All the time. See, all of your sins were forgiven. That's good news right there. Your past sins, your present sins and your future sins. The moment you receive the Lord. Now, when I use that word future sins, you mean I can be saved and sin? Yeah, you can if you want to. No, you're not going to lose your salvation. But for every act of disobedience, what is there? I guarantee you it's coming. Nobody gets away with nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You are now eternally, and I use that word eternally well, now you are now eternally redeemed, and you have received eternal inheritance, according to Hebrews chapter 9. That means forever. That's good news, folks. That means good news. That means once you get saved, Now listen to me. I said that once you get saved, if you violate God's will, there's going to be a season of disorder. Listen, but if you confess salvation, but you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, chances are you don't have what you think you got. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I've got outside of God's will. Let me tell you something. I've got outside of God's will since I've been saved, but that thing just ate me up. I cried so hard. Listen, a whole night. And that's what's going to happen to you if you're saved. You can't keep doing something over and over and over to violate God's will and confess you're saved. Now, that won't work. You need to go back to the altar. To what? No, she asked a question. Amen. How do you apply it to? I wish she hadn't asked the question because I don't want to open up the floor for questions. But no, you are right. The Bible says, if a man being
Christ,
he's a new
creature.
Old things
away.
And everything. How to, living witness. I've never been addicted to drugs, but I was addicted to alcohol. All right? And when you're addicted to anything, you're going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. You ain't got no money, you're going to find some. But when I got saved, hallelujah. It was sometime after midnight. When I got saved, the next morning, I didn't even want no alcohol. It's not that I quit the alcohol. I didn't want no alcohol. Are you with me? I didn't have a desire. I didn't have that lust spirit anymore. Running after folks. It just wasn't there. See, that's the miracle of salvation. That's what you cannot get just by going to church. If all you got is going to church and you're addicted, you're going to be addicted today. You're going to be addicted next week. You're going to be addicted next month. You're going to be addicted next year. Because going to church does not deliver you. But salvation will. I can't explain this thing. I cannot explain it. I've been saved 40 years, 43 this year, 43 years. And from the moment I gave my life to Jesus Christ, all that I was addicted to is gone. Amen. I can't do that in the flesh. Does everybody understand me?
Amen.
I can't do it. You can't do it. It's a miracle, miraculous power of God.
Amen.
That's why I say if you're going to get anything, get saved. God will just take it away.
Amen.
It's almost like he goes to that devil and says, no, wait. That one's mine. No. You can't use that to entice him no more. Give them to me.
Amen.
Give them to me. That's the miracle of this thing. That's what this thing is all about. It ain't about you being good and holy. Once you get delivered, let me tell you something, and that relationship with God grows, you're going to want to do right. You're going to want to follow the peace. And when you violate that thing, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And if you got any God in you at all, you'll let God do what he got to do. Excellent question, though. That's the answer. But if you're not saved, I don't care how often you go to church, if you're not saved, You're going to do that thing over? And because that's the devil's stronghold in your life. That's what he said, don't listen. Didn't he tell that to Eve? He said, did God really say that? You little sneaky thing, you. He's going to tell you the same thing. Don't listen to that. Go ahead. It feels good, doesn't it? Yes, go ahead. But when you get born again, that's why Jesus told Nick, said, Nick, you got to be born again. Yes, Lord. Amen. That's a free gift that God has given to us. But we have mistaken the free gift for a church service. You say, well, if I can just get to a church service. No, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to God. And see, you can voice the words, but if your heart's not sincere, it don't mean nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. But if you're sincere, the Holy Ghost comes in and he make you a whole new creature. And you'll be dancing, hallelujah. Remember Mary Magdalene in the Bible? Turn that lady's life all around. All around. Didn't have to go to rehab or any other kind of have or any school or anything. She just woke up and she was a whole new creature. Amen. Amen. Went to bed a caterpillar, woke up next morning flying all over the house. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And that's what we should shoot for. And that's what we should want for everybody. Amen. Don't worry about nobody stop drinking. Stop snorting. Stop running around with the wrong sex. Don't worry about that stuff. Worry about them getting saved. Because when they get saved, all that stuff is going away. Amen? God is a good God all the time. In your spirit, you became sanctified when you got saved and perfected in God's sight. For how long? Forever. Forever. 43 years for me. 43 years. Come on now. 43 years. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm dancing inside. Hallelujah. 43 years. 43. I never had a desire for a beer or a bourbon or whatever I was drinking. Never had a desire for it. Cigarettes. I forgot all about cigarettes. They still sell cigarettes? 43 years. And it wasn't because I'm a good guy. It's because God gave me a free gift of salvation. He just wipes it away. He just takes it. Just take it. And see, you know, let me tell you something here. This is a secret. You know that you got it. When people start asking, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? You say, well, acting like what? You're acting. You ain't the same no more. You don't have to convince anybody that you're not the same anymore. Everybody will know it. It's just the way it is. You know the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. You ain't crazy. God is a good God all the time. Hebrews 12:23. Let me take you there. It says, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You and I, when we give our lives to God, we've been made perfect inside. Ha! That's good news, folks. The devil don't want you to know that. He still wants you to think that it's you doing all this stuff. It's you that's not drinking, not smoking, not doing whatever. It's you that's being holy and all that. No. This perfection comes from God. Amen. It's not about you. All you got to do is follow the peace. You see, sin will never be imputed to you or credit to your account again. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever. Never, never. Isn't that good news? Never. The devil could never come back and say, you belong to me, I'm taking you to hell. Never. That's good news. You ought to be dancing all over the place. That's good news. You have, hallelujah, God is still good all the time. Now, but one last thing I want to share with you. It's just so much. God is creating an army. He may not have given you a title or a badge our gun, but he's creating an army, even right here within the Hasid Christian Center. He's putting something inside you to cause a change to come about. And he's going to use that something to spread in the community, spread where you work, spread in your family. He's going to use it to bring about what we call revival. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, see, when you're born again, you can't lose. I don't care what your circumstances or situation is. You can't lose. I don't care what handicap you may have in your body or in your mind. Just long as you open yourself up and say, God, use me. Amen? Sometimes we get affliction in our bodies and then we stop living for God. So God said, no, I can use you just like this. And in the fullness of time, I'll bring about a change in your body or your mind. But just don't ever give up. The same God today who was there yesterday. One thing I want to share with you before we close out on this today is that even though you're completely forgiven, it does matter how you live.
Amen.
Amen. God doesn't show himself to the populace every day in every way, but people see God through us.
Amen.
They see God through us. They see God through us. You have an enemy who is committed to your destruction. Talking to the saved folks here now. You need to understand that. Look, in all you're getting, get saved.
Amen.
In all you're getting, get saved. Hallelujah. In all you're getting, in all you're getting, get saved. In all you're getting, get saved. In all you're getting,
get saved.
In all you're getting, we know so little. You know, even when we get saved, then we tell God, we still get to dictating to God. You say, God, I thank you that you saved me and delivered me from all my mess. And now I think I'm going to go down here to XBC Church, and I'm going to join that church because it's a fine-looking place. God said, don't work that way. If you belong to me, then you go where I tell you to go. Now, that sounds harsh coming from the pastor. But let me tell you, I have to relate to my military time. For those of you who have done any time in the military, know you don't just pick a base. See, if everybody picked a base, then nobody would leave home. They would just go to the base closest to them and go back to their mama's house. So you understand that, right? You get in the military and you go where the military tell you to go. And the question is, how long do I stay there? You stay there till the military tell you to go again. And that's the same thing. I'm trying to open up something different for you. Are you with me? I'm trying to open up your whole mind, your whole conscience towards submitting to God. God may put you in a local church for a week, for a month, for a year, 5 years. And then all of a sudden, he starts rumbling that water, say, all right, I want you to go. And he'll open the door for you to go somewhere else.
Amen.
Let me just say that. That's okay.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's okay. You know, we hear that term, home church. Everybody say home church.
Home church.
Home is where God assigns you. Not necessarily where your mama and your grandma and your great-grandma went. You say, well, you're just trying to keep people here. I'm telling you, when the peace come to leave, leave. Amen?
Amen.
Leave. Leave. Because it's not about that local church. It's about you being submissive to what God will have you do for this season. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I know that is so contradictory to how we've been thinking. But God will put you somewhere for 20 years or 20 days. It's all up to him. It's just all up to him. It's just all up. And it's not about you being comfortable somewhere. Being saved means you're coming from death into life. Let me take you to John 10:10. Which talks about the thief coming. Hallelujah. Because I say that you have an enemy who's committed to your destruction. So there, the best way to protect yourself is to follow the peace and do what God tells you to do. You don't have to understand why all the time. Just do it. Isn't that what you tell your children? If you had a boy or a girl 6, 7 years of age and you tell them something to do, and every time you tell them something to do, they say, why? Why? I know what I do. I say, come here. That's the last why out of your mouth. But that's what we do to God. Why? Your enemy is committed to your destruction. You need to understand that. I'm talking to saved folks here. If you ain't saved, he'll let you play as long as he got use for you. But if he don't have no more use for you, he'll just take you on out of there, and he'll take you out quick. Look at some of our movie stars. We got this movie, Whitney Houston. Look how she went out. Michael Jackson, look how he went out. And I can name a dozen of them. Look how they go out. Why? Because the devil ain't got no more use for them. So he just bring them on home. Hallelujah. Forever. John 10:10 talks about how he doesn't like you. He says, The thief cometh not, but, wait a minute, we don't go no further. So you mean he don't come to make me have pleasure? He don't come to make me feel good. He don't come to make me popular. Well, I feel popular when I do this thing. I feel good when I do this thing. No. It says a thief cometh not but to do certain things. What thing? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Everything you are doing that satisfies the devil is designed to steal something from your life. Come on now. To kill something in your life, maybe a relationship, or to destroy something in your life. But Jesus says, I've come, why? That you may have what? Life. And I can testify these last 43 years have been the best life that I've ever lived. That they may have life, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. More abundantly. No poor folks here. More abundantly. You see, the choices you make determine whether you experience life or death. Once you get saved, if you're going to let Jesus lead you, then you're going to have life. If not, you're going to let the devil lead you, you're going to have death. Romans 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. What is that saying? That's saying, listen to me. If the devil tells a man, listen, that he's a woman, come on now, then he has put himself in the place of being a servant to the devil. That's what it's saying. Let me read it again. Know you not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What is he saying? He's saying, yield to sin, and you're yielding to the one whose revealed purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy you. Amen? Sin is never ever going to bless you. Never. That's right. Never, ever going to bless you. Never. Never. And I think if you reach deep into your past, you will agree with me that the things that you did that you could now classify as sin, they never wound up being a blessing to you. If you sin, listen, as a saved person, if you sin, simply repent. That's all you got to do, just repent. Oh, yeah, you're going to deal with a season of disorder because it's a law. But just repent. God's not going to throw you away. God has already forgiven you. So don't fall for the deception that he doesn't love you or that you'll lose your salvation. No, I already told you. You make a mistake, you're not going to lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. And I keep throwing that little picture of a caterpillar and a butterfly. If a butterfly mess around here and eat the wrong thing, go the wrong place, he's not going to turn back into a caterpillar. He's not. He's just not. And that's not going to happen to you at all. God the Father already rejected and judged Jesus, so you wouldn't have to be rejected and judged. We need to understand the power in the gift of this salvation thing. It's a blessing, folks. Once again, the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Change your mind and turn from sin if you're saved here today. Declare, Satan, I rebuke you. Tell Satan, listen, every day, the blood of Jesus has set me free. Or he's going to try. He's going to try to bring something to you. But if your appetite's not there for it, don't just take it anyway. Just say, Jesus set me free from this. That's the end of that. That's just the end of that. Oh, salvation is such a good gift. Amen. Even though I didn't do what was right, just tell the devil. Even though I didn't do what was right, tell the devil, you can't destroy me. See, we don't know who we are once we get saved. The power of God lies in us. In us. If there's something wrong with our body, we can speak to our bodies and keep going on just as if nothing was wrong. You say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. But if you believe you can't, you won't. You won't. I'm telling you, any door might open up to your natural body or to your mind that brings some sickness in. That's all right. If it gets in, you know how to get it out. You've got that kind of power inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, just tell the devil that God loves you and that you choose to follow him. Once you get saved, God does expect you to live a saved life. He doesn't expect you to do any old thing, especially things that please the devil. He doesn't. When the devil comes to you, tell him that God loves you and that you choose to follow God, not him anymore. This thing called salvation is a powerful thing. When you talk to the devil like that, that prevents him from gaining entrance into your life. Hallelujah. I made a statement a minute ago about cigarettes. Listen, the only reason I know they still selling booze because I see all these ABC stores in North Carolina. Only reason I see that I know that they're still selling cigarettes because I see people puffing on them every now and then. But I know that stuff is dead to me. Amen. Has no effect. I mean, it's like it's not even there. And you can just take that position as well. When the devil brings you something, the devil say, you know you want to do it. He ain't told you that yet? You know you want to do it. You know you want to have it. You know you want to be it because it makes you feel so good. Hallelujah. I'm saying get up under the blood this morning. Get up under the blood and God will just snatch that mess away. Get up under the blood and you'll become a new creature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This will prevent Satan from gaining any kind of interest into your life when you get up under that blood. Don't let the devil take advantage of you by ignoring the way God shows you to live. Don't let him do that. Amen. The abundant life Jesus provided is yours to enjoy. From death to life. This year is a year of new beginning. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, begin living that life. Amen. That life is not about lack. It's about abundance. That life is not about addiction. It's about freedom. That life is not about unholy stuff, but holy things. Amen. Begin to live your life right now, those of you that are saved, hallelujah, as if you've been set free. Begin to enjoy the freedom of salvation. Not only the freedom, but the power. The power. The power. You know, the first month of last year, Sister Eva said it looked like I was dying. You know, but inside I was, I got to go through this. Let me just go through this. You know, every day I just wanted to sleep. I wanted to rest. But one thing I knew, I was coming through that. Amen. The devil said, do you know how old you are? I said, oh, yeah, of course I know how old I am. He says, it's about your time. I said, no, it's not. Amen. It is not. Amen. It is not. Whatever it is God has for me to do in the end, I haven't done it yet. It is not. You say, well, suppose God wait another 20 years. Hey, I'll be here.
Amen.
No sickness going to take me out of here. No disease going to take me out of here. No sin's going to take me out of here. Amen. Because I've been born again, set free, sanctified by God. And that's what God wants for you. For you. For you. The other day, I started walking and I got a cramp in my knee, you know, the pain, you know, arthritis or something in my knee, and I just had to stop and speak to that knee. You're a lying wonder, knee. You don't know what's inside you. Amen. Amen? Amen? You have no idea what's inside you. God called Moses at the age of 80, and he lived for another 40 years.
Amen.
Why don't you just join me in moving from death to life?
Amen.
Amen? Become that new creature that God's talked about. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we love you and we adore you. We thank you for the free gift of salvation, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us from death to life. We decree and declare that the devil has no more hold on us. Father, we're not foolish. We're not stupid. We know what's right and what's wrong. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we refuse to make a way for the devil to come into our lives anymore, anymore. Father, bless your people. Guide them with your peace. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and